God bless you. So glad that you're here. We serve a mighty God, and He is so gracious and good to us. We're going to be talking about prayer today, and I apologize because, in a sense, I've got in a bit of a rut. We were working our way through 1 Thessalonians, you know, verse by verse, and last week and today I took a bit of a detour, but I want us to think about prayer a bit today, and these concepts, biblical concepts and verses that I'll share with you are probably nothing new to you, but at the same time, I realize that you may be like me, and when someone comes to me and says, "Hey, how is your prayer life?" you might say, "It's okay, could be better." And I think that's probably the answer that a lot of us would give. We're not really satisfied with our prayer life, and probably rightfully so. Prayer is it's a delight, but it's also a discipline that we need to assume responsibility and stewardship of. And when you think about it, when you just step back for a moment, just think of the whole idea of prayer. What an amazing privilege we have to commune with Almighty God, with the Creator of the universe. I mean, it staggers the mind when you really step back and think about it. We are so unworthy in a sense, but yet He loves us so much, and He wants to have that intimate relationship with us, and so I hope we see it as a delight. You know, what's interesting is that God sees it as a delight. And listen to this. This is Proverbs 15, verse 8. It says, "The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is His delight." The Lord delights in our prayers to Him. He takes delight in them. Isn't that kind of an amazing thing to think about? So, I mean, if He delights in my prayer, how much more should I delight in just the opportunity and the privilege to come before Him and talk with Him and share with Him and listen to Him. What an amazing thing. Psalm 34, 4 says, "I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and He delivered me from all my fears. They looked to Him, and they were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man, he cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him and delivers them." What a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful passage. Philippians 4, 6, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus." Probably one of the greatest passages, verses on prayer in a sense. There are so many, but that one I think is a real critical one. So let's look at some facets of prayer. And I hope we're challenged to say, I want to go deeper and deeper and more intimate with my Lord and my communion with Him, with my sharing with Him, and this beautiful thing of prayer. And I want to delight in that opportunity. And so here's some just basic things about prayer that let's struggle with and try to apply them in our life. If you're like me, oftentimes life gets so crazy, hectic, and busy that you can slip into just operating out of your flesh and going from one thing to the next, and it isn't long through the day that you find, you know, I haven't really been in communion with the Lord. I've gotten all wrapped up in the must-dos and be there, be here, go there, do this, get this done. There's a deadline. Meet that person and get this accomplished. I have a deadline. And, you know, where is the Lord? Where is His moving in all of this? And so one of the things about prayer that I think is so beautiful, it is an opportunity to worship and to praise God. And here are some of the ways, and there's many, many more that we could list, but here's some of the ways that in prayer, as I begin to worship Him and stand in awe of His majesty and His holiness, here's some of the things, ways that it affects me. One is it It requires an act of my will. I mean, I have to be intentional to do that, right? It's a choice I have to make, not only every day, but throughout the day, hopefully. And as I do that, it begins to soften my heart towards Him and His Word and His character and His will in my life. It enables me to really, in a sense, to become more like my Lord, because I'm praising Him for who He is, and I'm seeing that displayed in my mind, and my mind is renewed because of that, and I can become more a picture of Him through this praise and through this prayer. Prayer, of course, it creates the opportunity for powerful spiritual warfare. It helps me, of course, to listen to God, because we have so much coming at us today, right? We all got our faces in iPads and phones and computers and all types of digital things. And to hear the heart of God today, it seems increasingly is difficult. And so we have got to find opportunities. We need to put those things away and truly seek His heart, seek His face. In the midst of praising Him in prayer, I think my anxiousness and my fears, they begin to evaporate, because when I come face to face with His greatness and His goodness and His majesty and His holiness, His power, I can't help but realize that my struggle is nothing in the face of His power. It invites me, worship, to pour myself out to Him, to really just empty myself out before Him. It deepens my relationship with the Lord. And worship, really, as we've kind of been talking about it, it begins to change my mind and my heart and my attitude and so forth. Why we shouldn't have to ask this question, but why do we praise the Lord in prayer? There's so many reasons, of course. We praise Him because He's, number one, He's worthy of praise, right? This is Psalm 96:8. Give to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come to His courts. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of His holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. We praise Him because it brings us into His presence in this sacred, intimate way. This is Psalm 95:1. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms, for the Lord is great and the great King above all gods. He is absolutely supreme. And then as we're worshiping Him and we begin to think of His character, His descriptions and His names that are given to Him throughout the Word and to His Son, our Lord Jesus, I think even that in itself begins to lay us out humbly before Him as we recognize just how exalted He is compared to where we are. And so we praise Him because He is our healer, and there's multiple verses we could read about that. He is our peace. He is our deliverer, right? This is Psalm 70, verse 5. I am poor and needy. Make haste to me, O God. You are my help and my deliverer. O Lord, do not delay. I praise Him because He is my counselor. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel in my heart, and my heart also He instructs me in the night seasons. He is the restorer of my soul. And I'll read these, but they're all based in Scripture. He's the restorer. He's the redeemer. Our Lord Jesus, He's the power of God. He is my resting place, my sanctuary. He's a strength to the poor. He's a refuge to us right in the midst of the storm. He is the God of gods who is mighty and awesome. This is Deuteronomy 10:17. The Lord your God is God of gods, Lord of lords, a great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality nor takes a bribe. You can't play games with God, can you? King of kings and Lord of lords, stronghold in the day of trouble. He is my shield, my hiding place, my hope. The Word says He's my Savior, my strength. He's my song. He's my helper. He's the lifter of my head. His Spirit teaches me. His Spirit is a comfort to me, and He's a giver of mercy to me. He is my provider. Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. So that whole thought about that part of prayer, of praise, you know, I think is in some ways summed up in Hebrews 13:15. By Him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Another part of prayer is, you know, declaring God to be the Lord over your life. And you think, well, sure, of course. But I mean intentionally, with your heart and your soul, coming before Him and acknowledging and declaring that, Lord, You are King of kings and Lord of lords over every facet. Lord, You're Lord over my marriage. You're Lord over my family. You're Lord over my job. You're Lord over my mind. You're Lord over my heart. You're Lord over everything. So with humility and a surrendering, we declare Him to be Lord over all areas of our life, our thoughts, our emotions, our finances, work, marriage, children, fears, decisions. Lord be Lord. Lord be Lord over all. And maybe that's summed up in a sense in Philippians 2:9. It says, therefore God also has highly exalted Him and given Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Another facet of prayer is praying with confidence, even when you feel unworthy. And if you're like me, there are times that I come before God in prayer and I'm having a hard time finding intimacy, finding connection. And sometimes it's because there is sin in my life, or I've gone off the path, or something's going on that's within me that's distanced me from Him. And sometimes just this general feeling of being unworthy before Him. And I love that even with all of those emotional doubts and struggles that are stirring and raging within me, God calls me to come before Him with confidence. And as we read through the Word of God, I know He wants us to come to Him with confidence, even when we feel unworthy, even when we feel we're disconnected to Him. We come before Him with confidence. So the enemy comes in and lays hold of those struggles you're having, lays hold of that shame or that guilt or whatever you're feeling that's separating you from God. And he embellishes that and uses that against us to further the distance between you and God. And so, you know, I just pray that you would ask God to cry out to Him, Lord, rebuke this deceiver, this liar, this exaggerator, this embellisher. And Lord, I come before You today in all confidence. I am Your child. I'm going to follow You. Forgive me for my struggles. Forgive me for my emotions. Forgive me for my sin. I'm running to You today with great confidence and in repentance of my sin. And maybe Psalm 25:11 sums that up to some degree. For Your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. We serve a God who pardons. We serve a God of mercy, a God that forgives, a God that is waiting for the prodigal to come home. He is the healer, and so I pray that we would come to Him in confidence. Another thing is crying out to Him, I guess it's part of the Lordship, but submitting to Him in all facets of your mind and your heart and your body. This is Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Romans 12:1. You know, coming to Him and saying, Lord, You know that in my past I have struggled here and I've struggled with that. Father, I want to submit myself. I want to surrender my my mind, body, or heart, whatever area that you know I've struggled with in the past, Lord, I want that surrendered to you. I want to submit to you. I want you to be, again, the Lord of Lords in that area of my life. And maybe related to that is a willingness to confess any sin of thought or action. And of course, there are so many reasons, so many blessings that come when we come to Him in repentance, to be free of that sin that has brought guilt to us, to stand before the Lord in repentance and be totally honest with Him, holding nothing back, playing no games, absolutely confessing all sin. It is a wondrous and beautiful and a blessed place to be. To enjoy all the blessings God has given me and to enjoy the to avoid the consequences of sin. This is part of the blessings of confessing. And if you go through, there's so many, the Word of God lists so many good consequences for us coming to Him and being really, really brutally honest about any sin struggles that we have. He is waiting to hear our repentant heart and to forgive us and bless us. So, you know, these temptations and these struggles you have, you know, turn those temptations, those trials, really into victories. That's what God would like to do as you come to Him. And maybe one of the greatest victories comes, in a sense, in the midst of defeat. Because when I have faltered, when I have fell, and there is, I know I've really messed up, and I'm coming to Him, it humbles me, and I cry out to Him, and I hunger for Him, and I want this dealt with, I want it gone, and covered by the blood of Jesus, I want it forgiven. And so there is victory, even when I feel so defeated, when I feel so worthless, through repentance comes a great victory. Psalm 66:18 says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not hear me." There's that separation again. So when I come to Him truthfully with my sin, we are renewed. Our communion is brought back one-on-one together in a beautiful, beautiful way. Sharing our true desires with God. Do you share your dreams and your thoughts and intentions and things you think about, struggles, you know, as we share all those things, as we share our true desires, I think some wonderful things can happen. You know, I might have this desire for this certain thing, and through my time of prayer, I may realize, you know, God may move me to realize that that's your desire, Brian, but that's not my desire for you. And so I'm able to see that clearly and step away from maybe it was a prideful or selfish desire. And so in the midst of honesty and brutal transparency and openness before the Lord, laying these things out before the lover of my soul, he blesses us so wonderfully. 1 John 1:7 says, "If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." When we're in the light, everything is exposed. We lay it all out before Him. We let His light shine down deep into the cracks and the crevices of our minds, exposing everything, because that is what we want. We want ultimately His will to be done. And in prayer, seeking God's protection and covering, and oh, how we need that today in so many different ways. This is Isaiah 54:17. "No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord." Just crying out, "Lord, protect me. Lord, cover me. Cover my family. Cover my marriage. Cover my work. Lord, I need you to go before me. I need you as my rear guard. I need your angels encamped around about me." And when I am resting in that area and I truly know that He is my protector, there are so many beautiful promises that come to me. I can call on the Lord truthfully and praise Him. I mean, I think it opens me up in so many ways when I'm trusting His provision and His protection. I can trust in God's word and His promises for my safety. I can hide my, He's my high tower, He's my sanctuary, He's my covering, He's my tent. I can hide myself in the Lord, in a sense, from all this stuff that's swirling round about me. I can freely obey God, because we are so tempted, I think, in our society today. We fear man. We ought not to fear man. We ought to fear God. But when we truly fear God and know about His provision and protection, we can just boldly obey Him without reservation. We live to fear the Lord. We live to praise Him. We put our trust in Him like never before when we understand His love for us and His protection for us. What about in prayer, God's Spirit? Ephesians 6:18 says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for the saints." Jude 1:20 says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." God's Spirit is a helper to us, a comfort to us, a guide to us, an enabler. And we are told, of course, to walk in the Spirit, to be filled in the Spirit, to not grieve the Spirit, to not quench the Spirit. And all of those, I think, can relate to our times of prayer before God as well. And of course, you know, kind of one of the obvious things is praying for those around us. But we often, I think, are oblivious or forget or are so wrapped up in our own needs and wants and desires, so busy or whatever, that this area of prayer is I think, sometimes overlooked. But really, being sensitive and in your mind, going through your day and thinking of your relatives and your friends and your neighbors and your coworkers and praying that God's Spirit would prompt you who to pray for and so forth. What an important thing that is. Lord, help me to relate to other people with love like that, that it would be seen in my prayer life. Help me to relate to one another with affection. This is Romans 12:10. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. And we can do that exact thing in prayer. Lord, help me to relate to people in my life with compassion and prayer and care. Help me to relate to them in prayer as a servant, to serve them, to bless them, to cry out to my God for them. Let me relate to others with forgiveness and kindness. And let me be a person of peace. There's so much strife, right, in the land. So much strife and at work sometimes, in marriages, in churches. You know, praying that God, crying out for God's peace to reign supreme, and that He would use us to be a peacemaker. And related to praying for people in your life, you know, stepping back again and interceding for the world. We watch this video, we try and call attention to the needs of the persecuted church, which is just overwhelming, I think, for a lot of us to even begin to understand what they're facing and what they're going through. But interceding for the world, so important. And even though things might seem to be getting worse on a, certainly on a national level, but even on a worldwide level, you know, I don't give up in prayer. I keep praying. I can't stop praying. And no matter how bad things get, I step back in prayer and I know that still God is sovereign. He is still in control. He still hears my prayer. And so I cry out to Him for the world, for salvation, you know, for the missionaries, for the persecuted church. And the Word says, no matter how the nations are shaken, that the kingdom of God will not be shaken. And when I sense the darkness of the world encroaching, coming in subtly into my life, I can pray and expect the joy of the Lord to come in and give me strength and give me courage to anyone or anything that would oppose me or as I see the darkness pushing in the world around me. No matter how great the opposition, to still see the things of God and that He is so much far, far, far greater. And I can have great hope and confidence in that truth. And maybe to a degree summed up in Psalm 46:10, the word says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." Now, tomorrow, and throughout all eternity, of course, in a much greater way, praying that we would receive strength to believe God, knowing how fickle our faith can be, how doubts can creep in and cause us to struggle, crying out to God, "Lord, increase my faith, give strength to my faith." Ephesians 3:16, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, that you'll be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Praying that prayer that I would be filled with the goodness and the knowledge and the love of God. Praying to receive a strengthening to believe, a strengthening of my faith. Now, asking for God's will to be done, we can subtly be manipulators of God. And I think oftentimes we don't even realize that we're kind of doing this in a sense in our times of prayer with Him, but really honestly wanting His will to be done. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus." 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it's always God's will for me to keep praying about everything. You know, pray without ceasing, wanting His will, His kingdom to come. Those are things that should be at the forefront of our prayers. As we're crying out for His will to be done, crying out that He would enable us by His Spirit to obey His laws, to reflect Jesus Christ, to worship and praise Him in the fullness that He so deserves, that He would give our heart, soul, and mind strength to follow Him and to not give up, to always want more and more and more of Him. And then this last facet of prayer, I want you to think about it. It's receiving help in prayer from others. And I think for a lot of us, we struggle. This is part of our prayer life. And part of our prayer life is for me to go to Roy and say, "Roy, I'm having a hard time. I am really struggling right now. Would you pray for me, brother?" And that's part of my prayer life. Roy is part of my prayer life. You are part of my prayer life, and I am part of your prayer life. And God expects you and calls you to set aside your pride and humility, be willing to go to others and say, "Would you lay hands on me? Would you sit with me? Would you put your arms around me? Can we pray together? I need someone to stand in for me. I need you to cry out to my God on my behalf." Receiving help and prayer from others. Remember this in Matthew 26, Jesus is in the garden. It's verse 36. "Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane, and He said to the disciples, 'Sit here while I go and pray over there.' And He took with Him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and He began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. And He said to them, 'My soul is exceedingly sorrow, even to death. Would you stay here and watch with me? The Son of God, Messiah, was agonizing and felt like he needed his disciples to sit with him and watch with him and be part of his crying out to the Father. Can you not tarry with me? Can you not pray with me? For, you know, they began to fall asleep and so forth. But if Jesus Christ needed to cry out for others to come alongside him in a sense, do you think you don't need that? Let me tell you, buddy. At least for me, and I think for you too, you need that. But it has to come from a place of humility, doesn't it? Surrender. Setting our pride aside, being willing to cry out and ask others. And so today, as we wrap this up, I want you to rethink your prayer life. So when I come to you and I say, hey, how is your prayer life? You don't say, I don't know. It's okay. Could be better. I want me to say, oh, it's so sweet. It's so sweet. I've been before the Lord. Look at my face. It's radiant. It's still shining. I've had communion. I've been before the face of God. He has spoke to me through his Spirit and his Word. He's blessed me. I am his child. I am encouraged. Praise be to his name. So you can't say that unless it's true, right? So most of us probably have work to do. I know I do. To really delight and be a careful steward in this discipline and this responsibility, this incredible privilege of coming before God in prayer. And so I want us just to pray to wrap this up today together. And I would ask that you would just think for a moment honestly and humbly and being transparent before the Lord as you ponder the question, how is my prayer life? Is it haphazard? Is most of it before meals or maybe when I lay my head on the pillow? Or in a sense, am I praying with him unceasingly? Am I going throughout my day? And I got to do stuff and I got to talk to people and I got to get this done, but then I run back to him. Then I'm back with him. I'm back with him. I think that's what God wants. He desires us to have that sweet fellowship throughout our day with him. And so many of us find that difficult in the day and the age that we live. But I know it's so incredible, but I know our Lord desires to have that sweet intimacy, that ongoing relationship and prayer with us. And so I pray that it will be a challenge for you today as you think that through. Would you bow with me as we pray? Heavenly Father, I want to ask your forgiveness because my prayer life could be greatly improved. Lord, I allow myself to get wrapped up in too many things, running here and there, and far more than I want to admit, you end up being excluded, and I'm not seeking your counsel. I'm not waiting on you, listening to you, trying to walk in your Spirit and be moved by you, guided by you. I just blunder forward and onward. And Lord, the consequences to myself and others sometimes can be devastating. Father, I want to have that sweet communion that your Word talks about. As I look at this avalanche of verses and passages on prayer, I know that you desire, you delight in my prayer to you. Lord, you delight in my prayer to you. And so I want to delight, I want to hunger to be talking and laying myself out before you. And so, Lord, I pray that you would challenge us all today to examine our prayer lives and pray that your Spirit would convict us in the areas that we need to take note of, and that we would be very serious in our wanting to delight in you ongoingly and be in communion with you and having you truly reigning supreme in our minds and our hearts and our actions and lives. And so, Father, go with us today. Help us to be your people. And we are so thankful that you are such a gracious, loving God. We praise your name. In Jesus we pray. Amen. You are dismissed. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sabbath.